Locomari.
The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who's working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using and are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict. My name's Ari.
What's up, Ari?
I want to thank the God of my understanding for everything. I'd also like to thank the Capillary Convention Committee for inviting me to come here and speak. I believe that when it's in the boundaries of God's will that Narcotics Anonymous members are not taking risks when they ask a Narcotics Anonymous member to come and share their experience, strength, and hope. Well, you're not taking a bad risk. I was actually asked to come here to speak on a different topic, but I don't think that was God's will for me, you know. The topic I was originally supposed to share on was growing up in recovery. I have some things going on in my life that are in the process, and I'm not really at a point where I think I'm ready to actually speak on growing up in recovery. Like, I'm in a process, but I'm not at a definitive point yet. If it's all right, I'm going to stand up. I really don't want to sit down. Again, I want to thank the God of my understanding. This is my first convention. I've never spoke at it's just an honor. It's more of a blessing than an honor, but either way it is, you know. It says in our literature that the disease of addiction was apparent long before we ever started using drugs, and I know for myself that the disease of addiction was apparent in my life at about 7 years old. Starting with the fact that, like, I'm going to go back to my childhood. I'm going to try to make it as brief and get to the points as quickly as possible. There are many aspects of my disease, and I don't want to skip around too much. So that's my starting point. You know, when I would go to my dad and I would ask my father for something, right? And my father, in the discussion with my dad trying to get something that I want, my father would insistently, 9 times out of 10, 99% out of 100, the fractions, the math in it, or my dad's obstinance or disagreement, which was usually that way, he would say no, you know. And from the conversation with my father, I would take the points that worked and bring it to my mother and say, and give her the same discussion, except with more of the points that worked with my father, you know what I mean? And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, along with some puppy eyes and, you know, some boo-hoo, my mother would say yes, you know. Also, going back to childhood, growing up, I had a real hard time understanding with my father how, and my disease played into this, is that how could the man who says he loves me also be the one who carries out the punishment, you know? And moreover, in my life when I was a kid, the punishment was always more severe than any good things that ever happened. I mean, there have been times in my recovery where I've asked my parents, can you tell me about good things that happened when I was a child? Because I don't remember, you know? If anything, it's the disease of addiction having played into my life, keeping me from being able to see any kind of blessing or anything that I could possibly have gratitude for, you know? Throughout my life, I've been very antisocial. I'm talking about elementary school, middle school, high school. I really had no social skills. I just didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know how to express. I wasn't a clique kind of person. I didn't hang out with the jocks. I didn't hang out with, you know, with the heavy metal guys. You know what I mean? We all know what high school's like. So, when it comes to, like, you know, trying to find some acceptance in order to fit in, you know, luckily, what I was able to find throughout my school years was a few people who understood that I didn't know how to get people to understand me, and, you know, we had a hard time understanding each other, but, you know, the freaking it was pretty cool, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so luckily I was able to make it through high school with a couple of friends, you know what I mean? But still, it didn't stop the disease of addiction from being nurtured and cultivated, and, you know, I was bullied in high school. I was pissed on, crapped on, beat up on. Basically, throughout my teen years, if it was bad, I was on it, you know. I also know for a fact that the disease of addiction affects every area of my life. It affects my social, it affects my personal, it affects my workplace, it affects my family life, it affects the friendships, relationships. It really holds no boundaries. There's no limits to what the disease of addiction can do to literally change my perception, like what reality is, like what's really going on, and then what the disease of addiction does is change my perception of what's actually happening, you know? Almost literally making me believe that a lie, you know? Literally an illusion, you know? That what could actually be happening at the moment that something's happening, you might see it as one way. The disease of addiction, I see it a completely different way. Having no social skills to begin with, having no, you know, social skills being the top priority in my life, I'll be honest with you. When I came back to Narcotics Anonymous about 14 and a half months ago, I was quite literally incapable of talking to people. I was quite literally incapable of socializing. Isolation, degradation, defamation, all sorts of. It was real difficult to come back, you know? It was real difficult to come back. You know, we talk about in our literature how, you know, we came back to Narcotics Anonymous in desperation. I came back here on my hands and knees, crawling, literally begging that somebody help me. Even my first few attempts, which were quite feeble, were even still turned down, because how willing is a person to be? The experience has showed that every attempt that I ever made to try to stay clean was just, I was just full of shit, you know? My family, no trust, you know? You can't have a key to the house. You can't come in our house. We don't want you to come to our house, you know? My workplace, when I got clean, I was actually on disability because I'd been lying about pain that wasn't really there. I was on medication for pain that I didn't really have. I was lying to the doctors, which I was lying to myself. I was lying to my job. In some ways, I kind of think it was a blessing that if I had gotten clean, had been at work, I would have just gotten fired, because I really don't think that they would have appreciated, like, me having to go to the bathroom you know, 15 times an hour to take another puff, you know, to take another hit. All my experience, strength, and hope really comes from working the 12 steps. Or I've just recently finished writing on step 7. I'm waiting to go over it with a sponsor, my sponsor. You know, I found that that the disease of addiction, like I said, it holds no boundaries. It infiltrates every area of my life. It doesn't stop. It's always here. When I'm in a meeting, it's in the meeting with me. It's learning, you know. It learns what I learn. You know, when I'm in a meeting, my disease isn't out in the parking lot doing push-ups. It's sitting here knowing, you know. I recently found out, listening to a speaker tape, that the disease of addiction is cunning. You know, and I found out what the definition of the word cunning was. It's strategic, knows how to play, you know, and powerful, baffling. It confuses me, you know. Which means that if I'm in the meeting and I'm learning how to stay clean, then the disease of addiction is learning how to infiltrate my life. You know what I mean? And it's strategic. It knows how to play. You know, it knows where to, like, if any loopholes are left whatsoever in any aspect of my life, that it can seep its way in. You know. Now I'll give you the best living example I could give you. Okay. I'm at a job. I've been there for 3 years, right? I do my job fantastic. Everybody at the job knows I do my job fantastic, right? So in my mind, I start to think that I can take some liberties, right? I'm talking about, like, my job had, there were responsibilities. There was policy. There was regulations that had to be followed, right? I mean, that's how every job is. We all know that. In that, knowing that, like, I think that I'm, like, the king shit, you know? Nobody makes pizza better than I do. Nobody fries wings better than I do. Nobody can slice the deli meat better than I can, you know? Nobody can slice the cheese better than I can. Nobody can, like, introduce themselves to the customer better than I can, right? At my job, I literally thought, like, I was the top. Like, it didn't matter that for the 3 years that I was there, I was on disability for a year and a half, almost 2 years, right? Complaining of pain that wasn't really there, you know? Which then subsequently I found out I have 2 degenerated discs and 2 herniated discs, and there was real pain there. Just I kept covering it up with my drug use, and when the drug use would go away, the pain would come back. You know what I mean? So it was like a weird balance, you know? It was messed up. So I took some liberties, right? And, like, my disease, you know, honestly, like, infiltrating, making me believe that, like, you know, I could take some pictures of some people, right? And I'm talking about, I took some pictures. I took lots of pictures. I took pictures of rear ends, skirts, high heels. I took pictures of girls. I took pictures of people. I took pictures all over the damn place. For me to say that it happened once or twice, like I told my job, was a lie, would be a lie. I told my job a lie. Because I didn't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose the security. You know what I mean? Like, I was afraid of not having a job and not having, like, medical and dental benefits. But I was willing to, like, you know, I justified it with, like, I began justifying it with, they're not treating me good, you know? So if they're not treating me good, why should I treat them good, you know? So somebody saw me take a picture of someone, and they told on me. And then I tried to lie my way out of it. They threatened to call the police. Then subsequently they didn't, but they did terminate me. And then subsequently after that, of course, I was turned down for unemployment insurance, you know? You know? The point is that I have a problem with, like, And a very serious aspect of my disease is grandiosity, you know, or that in an area of my life where I'm completely capable of handling a work situation, I am completely incapable of social skills. I'm completely incapable or having, like, coming to this admission that I have a real problem with, like, how do I talk to other people, you know? It could come from my father locking me in my room for weekends when I was a child. It could come from my father beating the crap out of me. It could come from, like, I couldn't fit in when I was in high school, or I couldn't fit in when I was in elementary. I couldn't fit in with anybody. The social skills weren't there that, like, you know, and, like, I know that, like, for pretty much all of my life, everything was alien. Like, there was nothing natural about anything that was going on in my life, you know? The disease of addiction makes me lie. I see something, I want it my way. I see something, I want it to go my way. I want some more money, you know? I want a better job. I have a real hard time. The disease of addiction takes away my humility. I can't be humble for worth a shit, you know? It's, I tell you what, I came in Narcotics Anonymous because I couldn't stop using. I came in Narcotics Anonymous because I knew no other avenue in order to ask for help. I've been around Narcotics Anonymous roughly about 11 years. This month I have 15, I'm going to have about 15 months clean. No, not about, I'm going to have 15 months clean. And that's solid. I haven't used in the last 15 months. I like things going my way. I like being in control. I like being able to, like, pay my rent every week, you know? Like, I'm talking about, like, the disease of addiction is so cunning, insidious, and powerful, right? That, like, in the beginning of my recovery, right, when I would have trouble paying my rent at first, like, I couldn't understand, like, I wouldn't get upset over myself as to not being able to even pay my rent. Like, if there's such a word as, like, self-empathy, you know what I mean? Or self-feeling as toward, like, here are responsibilities that I need to keep up with, you know? Here is something in my life so severe, I'm talking about, this is the place where I sleep, this is the place where I eat, this is the place where, like, you know, it's my sanctuary, you know what I mean? My safety from the world, you know? It took a little bit of time, I'll be honest with you, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've been up in some turmoil since November when I lost my job of 3 years, right? Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, you want to talk about the disease of addiction affecting every area of your life. The last 3 jobs I've had in the last 4 months, they've all fired me, right? Because I can't, I'm not going to use the word can't. My recovery doesn't talk about the word can't. I have been unable, or maybe not willing enough, to try some other way, right? If Narcotics Anonymous introduces us to a new way to live, which it does, I mean, that's what our literature talks about, finding a new way to live. I have been unwilling in the last 4 months to try to find a new way to live. Literally. I've made the same mistake 3 times. You know? I've been disrespectful to people, and I've gotten terminated from my job because of that. You know? Luckily, in about 9 days, I'll be starting a new job. I can't break the anonymity of where I'm working at because, you know, it's being recorded. But it's almost literally like a fresh start. It's a full-time job, you know what I mean? To be real with you, I haven't had a full-time, like, the disease of addiction, like, check this out, right? My disease makes me think that, like, I don't need to have a full-time job. I can work part-time, try to make as much money on a part-time job, you know what I mean, and pay my child support, and pay my rent, and pay my phone bill, and be able to have money for smokes, and be able to have money on the side for, like, going to meetings or, you know, Monster energy drinks, you know what I mean? That, like, it's enough. Like, I don't need to try as hard as I possibly can in order to make it. Like, I can lay back and relax and just let life pass me by. But you know what? It ain't working. It ain't working. I went to a job fair. I got a full-time job. It starts in about 9 days. The contingency is this, right? Here's some hope for you, right? I got some fines over the course of the last 7 years. I haven't had a driver's license in 4 years, right? I'm talking about like every time I get some amount of money in my hand, right? I take the check, I bring it to the check cashing place, I spend it on everything else other than the responsibility that was laid down to me. Like the court said, here, you got these fines you gotta pay, and I'm like, I ain't paying, right? Like, I need some new sneakers, or I need some new pants, or, you know, I need some more Monster energy drinks, you know? Or let me buy a carton of smokes, you know? I'm talking about like, you know, I take an ambulance ride to a hospital, right? The insurance company mails me $610, and I go out and buy clothes with it. I pay 1 week's worth of rent, and the rest of the money goes to bullshit. It goes to nothing, you know? I'm talking about, I've got plenty of insurance checks, right? Where I could have taken at least half of it and sent it out for my fines, didn't pay it. Why? Because I can take the bus. I love taking the bus. That's what I say to myself. Bus is fine. I can take the bus. I hate taking the bus. I hate taking the bus. I'm tired of taking the bus. I'm tired of riding a bike. So anyway, I paid off my fines last week, paid the restoration, paid part of my surcharges. This week, I'll be taking my permit, getting my permit. And then the first day of on my new job, I have to walk in with the permit in hand. The difference is $5 in the wages between making $8 an hour and making $13 an hour. So yeah, I'm gonna try to get my driver's license as quickly as possible because like I got some work that still has to be done, you know. Like I can no longer make excuses for the disease of addiction, especially since like, you know, I've made decisions that imply action. So there's some action that has to be taken. There are things that I have to do, you know what I mean, in order to like get my life back to where, you know, I needed to be. I don't really know how much more I could say about aspects of the disease of addiction, you know. All I can say is this, is that in the process of working the steps that I've worked so far, and when I say working steps, I mean like a sponsor gives me something to write on, you know, gives me the steps to write on. I believe in writing on steps. That's the only way you're going to learn them. You need to look through the literature. Maybe you think you know somebody, right, because you hang out with them a lot. If you want to know the literature, you got to hang out with the literature. You got to read the literature, right? When I say working some steps, I mean like I've written on some step work, you know? When I say living some steps, it means like I take the information that comes from the basic text and what I've learned from my step work and I try to apply it into my life. Okay, some aspects of my life aren't as great as I'd like them to be, but it doesn't mean that I don't have the ability to change and that I can't, it doesn't mean that I can't take action in order to arrest that area of problem just one day at a time, you know? So quite literally, I got about 2 weeks. I say hello to somebody I've never said hello to at least once a day. I try to. I call them up on the phone. Hey, how you doing? You know? And I'm preparing that when I go to my new job, it's going to be a whole lot of lips shut. That's it. Maybe after about 6 months, I'll say something fucked up. Just to see what I can test, you know? But no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't take that as a suggestion. That's not a good one. This program's about hope. The disease of addiction affects every area of my life. By writing on the step work and discussing every area of my life with other Narcotics Anonymous members, and by coming to meetings and listening, and by writing on my step work and staying in constant contact with a sponsor, praying to the God of my understanding for strength and ability so that I can meet my own needs, I try to keep my solutions working. 12 steps in Narcotics Anonymous is the solution. I got to work those in order to keep my solutions working. So, with that, I just want to, again, I want to thank the convention committee for allowing me to come here and share my message. If you didn't get anything, it's because of, I was sponsored by Red Bull and 4 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and half a cup of coffee. All right, cool. People are laughing. That's good. Okay. See, I'm on my way to being more social. Okay. I'm an addict. My name's Ari. Thanks for letting me share.
Our next speaker is Darren. Let me welcome Darren.
Speaker, the NA member chosen to speak in a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. What's happening, family? My name's Darren. I'm an addict. How's everyone doing this morning? I know we're all tired, because I'm tired too, so I'm not going to stand. I'm going to sit. It's good to be back in Capital Area. I want to thank the convention committee for thinking something of me again, to ask me to come down here and share my experience, strength, and hope. That's it, just my experience, strength, and hope. No theory, no comedy. You know, I'm not going to put on a show. I'm just going to give you my experience, strength, and hope of recovery. That's it. Like, my mind went blank before I started reading this, which is good because I got that out of the way. All right, so I'm ready to just give you my experience, strength, and hope on one disease with many aspects. I mean, I was thinking many aspects of one disease, you know, many, many aspects. wow, I really don't know where to begin. The only way to begin is with me. You know, everything starts with me. I really don't blame my disease on anything anymore. You know, I came in with Ari in 95. You know, he's one of those cats that I remember. Yeah, he was here, you know, when I came back. And, thank you very much for sharing. You did a great job, Ari. You touched on a lot of good points. But like 11 years ago, like, it was always about like the disease and the disease is making me lose my license, is making me get fired from 26 jobs. You know, disease is doing all this. And then, when I really started, when I had to go back out, I had 33 months clean and I thought that like, I got this thing, you know, I don't need your help. Terry, I don't need your help. You ain't got nothing for me, you know. So I went out for another 5 years and got a little bit more education on active addiction, what it would, you know. And it took me to a place where I was lying in my bed one night in an apartment that I couldn't pay rent for, that I couldn't keep cleaning, I couldn't change a cat litter. The dishes were stacked up 3 feet above the sink. My closet was 4 feet high, full of clothes that weren't clean. And I was lying in my bed one night, and I sort of had a spiritual awakening. I said, I could go back to Narcotics Anonymous. And I went back to Narcotics Anonymous and I raised my hand. And I said, I'm coming back. You know, and there were some familiar faces in the room, you know, and I felt accepted again. I felt welcomed again, you know, and it's funny, the beginning of this topic says H&I workshop, one disease, many aspects. And the first thing one of my good friends said to me was, get on H&I because it's going to save your life and it's going to keep you clean. And that was 4 years ago. And I haven't used. I stayed clean. And like what he said was true. You know, I got involved with H&I, which is hospitals and institutions. You know, I would go into facilities and bring a Narcotics Anonymous message into people who couldn't get out. And it was very, very, valuable. It was very valuable. It was rewarding. H&I was one of the best things I could have done for my recovery, and I suggest everyone at least tries it once to get that experience. It's great. but like throughout my travels in recovery this time, you know, I got involved with step work this time. You know, I already touched on the steps. And without the steps, I would be out there. I wouldn't even be at the convention. You know, I'd be doing something that I probably shouldn't be doing. You know, and the steps of Narcotics Anonymous helped me focus on the aspects of my disease, my defects and my shortcomings. You know, because when I think of aspects, I think of defects. You know, things in my mind that I just love to play around with, think I can control, think I can do, and then act out on them. You know, and that's everything. That's everything and anything, because it's all about me. I might have close to 4 years, but it's still all about me. You know, much as I want to put on a front and share all good and act all good and look all good and sound all good, it's still all about me. You know, and I just have to work on it one day at a time. I have to work on fixing those problems. You know, those problems when I get my paycheck. Still, you know, yeah, before I would buy drugs and spend it all in a weekend. Well, I'd make it last a little bit more than a weekend, but I'd spend it. Now, it's I take my paycheck and I spend it all on bills, and then if I got a couple hundred dollars, which could get me through for the next 2 weeks if I use it smart, I got to go to Dick's and I got to buy some fishing supplies and I got to buy Monster, you know, because I drink those like they're going out of style. I got to buy my cigarettes. But then I justify it and say, well, if I buy the buy one, get one frees, you know, I'll be saving a little bit of money. And then if I buy the, you know, the buy two, get one free Monsters, you know, that's all right, you know, because I'm still saving money. And then if I go to Dick's and I go into the $1.97 bin, I buy them half off. So I'm saving money. You know, but then when I take that money that I saved, I still spend it on other shit. You know what I mean? I mean, not my disease. I go so far beyond, like, reality. I mean, I've got bills up the gazoo because I don't want to pay them. I just don't want to pay them. This is how sick I am. I'm telling the truth. I'm not being honest. I'm telling the truth. Okay? I mean, this is, look, they asked me to speak at this convention because I needed to free myself. You know, I needed to just get some shit out. You know, and like, I mean, I took a loan out when I was working at Princeton University to help to get my credit back. And I got it back and it was up to like 600 and now it's going down. It's going down again. You know, I got, you know, collection agencies after me again. I mean, it's like I'm not learning anything. You know, I mean, my loan officer said, now just make your payments and you'll be fine. But then all these things that fill my void in my stomach, things that I need to feel full. You know, I got to get that fullness inside. So I got to buy all the fishing stuff and I got to... I gotta put gas in my car. I gotta eat Chinese twice a week because I love Chang's. They make banging spare ribs. And I'm just, this is all justification, you know? But, like, I'm not owning up to my responsibilities, which are paying my bills, paying my mom back, you know, handling my business, taking care of myself. You know what I mean? Just because I got a little time in here doesn't mean that, like, you know, I'm the almighty. I'm not. I'm nothing. I'm an addict just like you. That's all I am. You know, and I just stayed clean consecutively. That's it. That's the only thing I've done perfectly in Narcotics Anonymous is not use. You know, and I say that a lot because, you know, I mean, sometimes people get misinformed that they have to work certain steps perfectly. But this is not, it's not true. None of the steps are worked perfectly. You know, nothing in Narcotics Anonymous is done perfectly except not using. You know, and that's the one thing I, you know, that I got on my disease. You know, my disease might be cunning, it might be baffling, it might be insidious. It doesn't want to kill me. I know that. It wants to torture me. It wants to make my life hard. It wants to make me struggle. You know, it wants me to buy the cheap coffee because I can't afford the good coffee because of my own doing. But no, my disease doesn't want me dead. Baffling? No, I baffle me. You know, I'm cunning. I'm insidious. I'm the one who does everything. You know, I'm the one who sits on the computer at night, every night, because I have to feel, I have to get instant gratification because I'm lonely. Hey, I'm telling the truth. I don't care. This is one thing I learned in Narcotics Anonymous through step work, through sponsorship, through friends, is that, like, I don't need you to accept me anymore. I don't need you to be my friend so I can feel good. I don't care. You know, people who know me in the meetings that I go to, I don't socialize. I don't try and pick up the newcomer girl anymore. I share what I want, when I want, when I need to, because I have to, and I tell the truth, and I don't give a shit what you think. You know, and some of my friends are like, but don't you care at all? No. I mean, I'll be mindful of things when I know there's certain people in the room, because I do know about anonymity, and I do know about sponsorship. You know, I can take it to my sponsor and tell him anything. But, like, I've got that level of acceptance where, like, I know that I'm screwing my life up and I have to take ownership to it. I mean, it's all about ownership. It's all about accepting responsibility. And why are we here, I think? It says, through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. It says it right there. I mean, the answers are in the literature. You know, I don't read the literature like these guys. These guys are way, they're ahead of my league. You know, I don't get down with the literature as much as they do, but I do read it. And it's like, I was talking to a kid at a meeting, we were reading the first step and It Works How and Why, and I'm reading and he's looking up here and he's looking over here and he's looking over here and then he's looking and then he's looking over here, and I'm like, dude, you should try and read. I'm like, okay, if this is boring, I know it's boring reading it sometimes. We all think it's boring sometimes reading it. I know I think it's boring sometimes reading it. And I said, look, if you just concentrate on what the words mean, you'll see how much you identify. You see how much this book was written for you. And like, the book was written for me. It's a cheat sheet to my life. It's a cheat sheet to doing good, to getting better, to getting ahead. You know, and so far, like, I'm sort of using it. Like, sometimes and not sometimes, you know. Like, I was holding myself back from, you know, taking chances moving on, you know, in my profession. you know, because I felt that that security and familiar pain. You know, I was secure because I had health insurance and benefits and vacation if I earned it. But, you know, I was taking abuse and like, I was, you know, frowned upon and I wasn't getting ahead and I never was going to get ahead. So finally I took a risk, you know, because I know I have a lot of fears still, a lot of fears. You know, one of those fears was risk, taking risk, moving on. You know, and I moved on and I couldn't be happier. You know, I moved on to a place where like I get my own apartment. I don't have to pay a dime for rent. You know, I don't have to pay for utilities. I just have to pay for my cats. You know, and that's it. You know, and buy myself food occasionally. You know, when I can afford it, when I'm not buying fish and crap. And it's beautiful. I mean, like, it's beyond my wildest dreams. My boss doesn't hawk me. You know, he doesn't insult me. You know, he treats me like a man. You know, the way we all should be treated. You know, with respect. And it's just great. And like, I use the tools that I have learned in this process on the job. You know what I mean? Like, when I, like a long time ago, I used to know everything. I used to be a waiter, and I worked in a lot of restaurants, and I was a damn good waiter. I was really good. I was in newspapers and stuff, in waiter races, and I was arrogant. I was arrogant, arrogant, arrogant. I was self-righteous. I was better than you. I was the best. I made more money than you, no matter what. Even if you told me you made $300, I made $350. That's how I was. And I got fired from a lot of restaurants, you know, because I thought I knew everything. I thought I could tell the boss what to do. But at this job, you know, I ask questions. I say, how do you do this? Can you help me with this? You know, you need me to stay late? You need me coming early? You know, I'm there. And like my boss sees that, you know, and he likes it, you know. And lately, you know, I've actually been taking the initiative more. You know, I'm going like the one thing, I'm taking the initiative. I'm working really hard at work. I'm actually volunteering for heavy work because, you know, deep down inside, I know some people won't do it. And I know the work's got to get done. Now, where I take my will back and, you know, I let my disease, you know, take over, I start talking about people. I'm like, this motherfucker, he can't do a washing machine. You know, he's supposed to be in the program too, and he's not even helping out. You know, and I'm just like, I bash this guy like every day because he's so lazy. And it pisses me off. And I have to learn to control that. I have to learn to just let it go. To just say, okay, this guy, this motherfucker is going to be who he wants to be. If he's going to be lazy and get away with it, well, you know, more to him. You know, good for him. I have to concentrate on me. I cannot let, you know, my self-will run my life because it'll run it into the ground. You know, I mean, it's always about us. It's always about us. You know, it's always about me. You know, I was fighting, you know, because I have to be somewhere. I have to be in Maryland in a couple hours. You know, right when we get there, I got to get in my car and leave. And I wanted to, I look forward to this convention every year. This is where I got clean. This is my home. You know, I can go to New Brunswick or I can go to Pennsylvania, you know, and I know people and I feel comfortable, but Capital Area is home, you know. And like, I was fighting with it, you know, because I got my nephew's second birthday party in Maryland. And my head is just like, it's like playing racquetball right now. But I know that the right thing to do is to go to Maryland and to see that baby because I don't get a chance to see him that much. And I get to see my niece, too. That's another plus. And I get to see my family, and I get to eat, and maybe get Nick tickets from my brother's brother, because he works for Daily News. He writes for the Knicks, so maybe he can get me tickets. There I go, thinking about me again. It's tough. It really is tough. You know, I mean, it's like a double-edged sword. You know, I mean, some days are good, some days are bad. You know, some days I'm really spiritually centered and level. Other days I'm off the charts. I am totally off the charts. You know, one week I'll be so responsible with my money. Like, I'll shock myself. I'll have $200 on payday in my pocket. And other days I'll be borrowing money, like I was this week. Borrowing money from guys at work. You know, my boss... And this was great. My boss, you know, lent me $110 to get new tires. You know, he had faith. You know, he had trust. He trusted me enough, you know, that you know, to get me tires. And I'm going to pay him back because that's my responsibility. But I wouldn't have to borrow any money from anyone if I was responsible. You know, and like my sick thinking is there's always something I need. It's always something I need, you know. I need this lure, you know. I need the boat. I got to get this piece for my motor, you know. But these are all wants, you know. Like, there's no balance. I have no balance with my finances, and that's probably the biggest aspect of my disease, that I fuck up constantly. Like, I love money. You know, maybe I need a woman in my life, you know, and like, I could just concentrate on just giving her a little bit, and like, I won't have to spend any money. But, you know, I mean, I share about that a lot. You know, I share about, you know, my loneliness a lot, because I am, and I know that I have to wait. I have to wait, you know, when this motherfucker is ready to give me something. And it's tough. Because I get impatient. I get very impatient. But I know that when I look for something and then I get something, it's always fucked up. It's off the charts, man. I mean, it might be fun for a week and then it turns into a nightmare. You know? So I gotta get my life straight first. I gotta get my career straight first. You know, I gotta pay my bills. You know, I got to continue to keep learning how to love myself, you know, because how the hell am I going to love someone else if I really don't love myself all that much? I do love myself, but I know I could love myself a hell of a lot more, you know, an example is that I could take care of myself better, you know, I could clean up my house a little bit better, I could keep my car a little bit cleaner, you know, I could shave maybe twice a week instead of once a week. I'm being serious. I mean, these are things that, like, I could just do just to take care of myself a little bit better. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ, if I get a girlfriend, my life will go to shit. Because I'll be just thinking about her, and I won't even think a damn thing about myself. I'll let everything go. I'll probably lose my job. So I just have to stay, like, focused. I have to keep my eye on the prize. And, like, no matter what, just not use. Like, the most important thing, we can't do any of this if we're using. You know? All we have to have is a desire. Just a desire, just a want, you know, to do this. It took me a long time. It took me a long time to finally understand that, like, I needed NA more than NA needed me. You know, because for a while, I'm like, you know, NA needs me. But they don't. NA will do just fine without Darren. I need you guys. Because I can't do this by myself. You know, if I come to a room and it's empty, who am I sharing to? I mean, who's going to help me? You know? What am I going to share to the fucking wall? I mean, I'm not going to get any suggestions. I'm not going to get any help. You know, so like I need all you just to keep coming too, you know, keep coming, just keep fighting, You know, I mean, this is just a battle, you know, staying clean one day at a time, and I know I can do it. I'm not worried. I don't think about using anymore. You know, I don't think about, you know, I don't obsess about using anymore. It's still about the drugs, or else I wouldn't be here. It's always about the drugs for me, but I just don't think about them anymore. I've got too many problems in my life, too many things to think about, you know. Like, I'm obsessed with fishing. I really am. I mean, most of you who know me know I am. I love it. It's my passion. It's my spiritual, you know, meditation. You know, when I'm alone, I can just relax and concentrate and just get down. I don't know. I wanna thank you all for coming out this morning. You know, you're gonna be free to go in a couple minutes, get some coffee, some eggs. You know, it's a good place down the street. They make good eggs. You know, I want to thank the God of my understanding for getting me here, because I didn't get me here. You know, the God of my understanding, you know, got me up, got me dressed, got me in the car, and, you know, I just helped deliver his message. That's it. This isn't mine. You know, that would be too selfish, and I'm selfish enough. I really think that's all God's got for me right now. If no one told you they loved you, I do. I might not like you, but I love you. Because we all have the same last name, Addict, and we're all here to help each other. So enjoy the rest of the convention. Family, my name is Darren. I'm an addict. Thanks.